Philippians 2, 19 to 30, we're finishing out chapter 2 of Philippians, the epistle of joy, the letter of joy. Philippians 2, picking up at verse 19. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. Now think about all those titles there. Brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, messenger, and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. It seems that Epaphroditus may have had what they called Rome fever, which may have been like malaria, okay? And so he had been very, very ill. Now, there's nothing like the reunion of friends. I've often been amazed at the way friends can be apart for years with maybe a contact here or there. Facebook makes this more possible nowadays, and email. But when we get together physically, we hug one another and wipe happy tears away. It's interesting how we pick up where we left off. I have a friend. His name is Ed. We did lots of ministry together over the years, especially when we were both youth pastors. We would combine our large youth groups. They were already large, and we'd take close to 100 kids on charter buses to Albany, Georgia, or to South or North Carolina for mission trips, for work trips. When I moved into a senior pastor role in the late 90s, and then he did the same thing, moving into a senior pastor role, we did less together, but our friendship flourished. In 2005, I moved here to Ohio, and we lost contact, not because we stopped our friendship, but because he seemingly dropped off the grid. He had fallen into an illicit affair. His marriage crumbled, and he just disappeared. Over the years, I often thought about him. I made an inquiry or two with common friends, especially back in Pennsylvania, but I was unsuccessful until about 2 years ago, Ed contacted me. With much brokenness, he shared his journey. He shared how even though he had made such a terrible mess of things, God still had a plan for him and had redeemed him. His ministry would never be the same. In fact, he doesn't have a ministry that way anymore. But it was true, and it is true. Ed is a forgiven and restored man. And it was so good to hear his voice, to hear his laugh. He had an infectious laugh. It was so good to know how God restores brokenness, and it was so good how our friendship was restored. as well. And as you know, I spent 3 years at Navajo Mission, Navajo Brethren in Christ Mission in New Mexico. I traveled there for the first time 50 years ago, this coming August, at the age of 18. My first year there at the mission, I ran the farm. I was caring for the pigs that we had, the chickens, and the beef cattle. We had our own eggs, we had our own chicken, our own poultry, and hogs, and beef. I milked the cow morning and night. I was also the gym teacher. Gym teacher. You know, that's scary. At the mission school. I was also the soccer and basketball coach. And I loved working with the Navajo kids. We traveled in my 3 years there. We traveled all over New Mexico and Arizona playing other mission schools. It was a blast. The school administration, blind as they were, saw that I had a great love for the kids, and they made me the boys' dorm supervisor for grades 4 through 6 at the mission school. It was a boarding school. I was 19 years old and responsible for kids only a few years younger than myself. As I began my first year in this role, I decided I need to lay down the law right away. I told them that after lights were out at night, they had 15 minutes to get all the talking out of their system. After that, I would announce that it was quiet time and rule breakers, any rule breakers at all, would receive a swat with a paddle. By the way, I've discovered since then, and it broke my heart to know what I had done. It broke my heart to know what the mission had done over the years too. But corporal punishment in the Navajo culture is anathema. You just don't do it. So I'm glad that God redeemed this. Well, the very first night, I heard talking in the quiet time. And I went into the room to find Leo, the sweetest kid in the dorm, was the guilty party. And we don't have PowerPoint, right? I had a picture of him. Leo is the dad of the young man Noah who had the terrible car accident 5 years ago. And we've been praying for Noah over the years, and you've seen videos about him. Leo got the SWAT, just one SWAT. And I'll never forget, it's there in my mind's eye. His face crumbled into bitter weeping. And I returned to my own room, and I wept bitter tears. And I never spanked another kid. But I bore the guilt of Leo's bitter tears for close to 40 years. Until, in a conversation with several of them, I confessed my years of guilt for my ill-conceived discipline plan. And Leo, there were several guys in on it. It was Leo and his wife, and Arnold and Alvin Trujillo and Eugene Huerito and some others that were all there. We were sitting in a pizza joint, catching up. And I confessed my guilt feelings for this over the years. And as I said, Leo was one of the guys in on that conversation, and he had zero recollection of it at all. Arnold healed me with, you carried that all these years? You were always the best. We always loved you. You need to forgive yourself. And then all of them concurred. And you can't imagine the sense of freedom that Arnold's words gave me. My boys, because a lot of them are grandparents now, are my friends. And friends bring healing, and they did that for me. Someone has said that friends are the flowers in the garden of life, and it's true. Every one of you can come up with similar stories to what I just told. All of us know the value of faithful friends. Paul shared about that in this text that I read as I opened this talk. His friends in Philippi, and he really considered them really dear friends at the church in Philippi, and they were really, really concerned for him. They had sent their emissary, Epaphroditus, to bring him some money and probably food, some warm coats, items that he needed to stay there and be. And they wanted him to stay with Paul and render whatever assistance the Apostle Paul needed. And now Paul knows that it's time to send Timothy along with Epaphroditus back to Philippi so that they know that their boy, Epaphroditus, is okay, and they know that Paul is standing strong. He wanted them to be assured. He wanted his friends to know this. And so, in the time remaining, and it's not much, let's take a quick look at Paul's young friends and why they were so valued by him. And right away you can see that they were there for Paul. These two young men, Timothy and others were there too, but Timothy and Epaphroditus were there. They were present with Paul. Now think about it. Paul was in Rome to face the emperor for a capital crime. Paul was guilty of atheism because he was guilty of worshiping someone, Jesus Christ, God, the three in one. He was guilty of worshiping someone other than Caesar. This Caesar was supposed to be worshiped. And this Caesar wasn't any kind of spring chicken. He was Nero. We know that Nero was not to be trifled with. He was several bricks shy of a load. So for Timothy and Epaphroditus to be associated with Paul was not a safe thing at all. This was a time when most friends would get scarce. Not so with these two. They stood faithfully at Paul's side. And as we study him, Timothy, we know that Timothy shows up in Acts 16 for the first time when you read through the book of Acts. Then we have two letters that were actually written to him from Paul, two letters that we have. And then there were several, six or seven letters that Timothy helped Paul write. Timothy was wherever Paul was. Indeed, Paul refers to it here in verse 22 that he was Timothy's spiritual father, but he was also a very good and very faithful friend. Now, similarly, Epaphroditus had left everything he knew. He had come, he left everything he knew to serve his congregation in Philippi by serving Paul. He was there because he wanted to be. danger or not, Paul, being the good friend that he was, knew that Epaphroditus needed to go back to Philippi. Maybe he was a bit homesick. In addition to having a Rome fever, maybe he was homesick at all. They had also gotten word at home that he was deathly ill, and he wanted them to see face to face that their guy was okay, that their native son was okay. And on top of this all, turning to Timothy, Timothy knew what Paul knew. Timothy was Paul's protege, his student, and he was learning a lot, and he was learning well. And Timothy could easily stand in for Paul. If Paul couldn't go, which he couldn't because he was chained to a Roman soldier in Rome, he could send Timothy to be his emissary and to be his mouthpiece. A good, a good friend represents his friend faithfully and accurately. And what you can see here is that Paul sent the best. Paul sent the best. I was hoping this wouldn't happen. Just two more points, I think. Two more points, Lord. Paul sent the best. Paul really wanted to go himself to Philippi. Of course, he couldn't. We know that Philippi was a favorite place. The people in that church were his dear friends. So, of course, he would have loved to go himself, but he couldn't. So, he sent Timothy and Epaphroditus, his two closest proteges. And one thing we notice as we look at the book of Acts all the way through, and all the way through holy history, that the best are always sent out and not selfishly kept home. We send out the best when we send people out. Jay goes on Friday because he's the best. That's what we do. Paul sent the best. He sent the best to his best friends. That was the least he could do. And this is because trusted friends are worth their weight in gold. Now think about it. The price of gold on Friday, as I wrote these words, was $2,932.29 per ounce. The price of gold. By the way, it dropped $100 by the time the market closed at 4:59, but I had already written this, okay? Now, the average American man, oh, how I wish, is 200 pounds. That means his worth in the weight of gold would be roughly $9,400,000 if a friend is worth his weight in gold. That's ridiculous, I know. But it's true. The value of a faithful friend is actually incalculable. Paul sent these two young men because he knew that he could count on them. He also knew that good friends give everything. A good friend is closer than a brother, and he knew that he could count on them. Proverbs tells us there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24, the second half. Paul knew this. He knew this and he experienced it. Good friends give all. Be a friend. Now, finally, it hurt to see them go, but Paul sent them anyway. He said, once we determine how things are going with me, we will send Timothy and Epaphroditus. He sent them anyway. This is similar to what I just covered, but it bears emphasis. You don't hold back. You send the best. Instead, you just send them. That's exactly what Paul did, and he left it all in God's hands. And that's what faithful friends do. So, as I've talked through this message here, you're probably someone who fits this role in your life. And you're also thinking, how does this fit my friendship? What kind of a friend am I? And I just say, keep thinking. Savor those faithful friends and be one yourself. Because we need to show the world the value of faithful friends. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed, I